found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:03. Thank you to Zion Johnson for joining us. He is Boston College player. Like I said, one of the most interesting prospects that I every year you come across some very interesting prospects. But the 225-pound golfer who became a first-round caliber, maybe second-round player, guard at Boston College after going to Davidson. He has a master's with his cybersecurity master's. Just really, really super impressive. Just wanted to give him a little bit of shine. Joining us right now, so it's me and Dell, and joining us right now is a guy that's from Houston, moved away recently, came back, I don't know, to visit, we'll find out, but had a big life change, and you've probably read some of his work in the past, and that is Brandon Caldwell joins us right now from ESPN.
Yeah, it still feels surreal. I think last October when we had orientation, they're like, oh, yeah, I work for Marvel. I work for Hulu. And I'm like, I work for ESPN. And then I wanted to curse and say, holy F, I work for ESPN. I was like, right. I was like, wait, holy bleep, you work for the mouse. So
now, but this is really cool because Dell and I are pretty, we're pretty diverse in our taste.
Can you put me in the same grouping as you?
Me and Dell are both very, very diverse. We, from a music, from a movie, shows, sports standpoint, you walk in the same path that we do, which is what I like and what I've always liked. We've had you on the show before but via the phone.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that, well, that's the thing, is before you went to ESPN, tell everyone what your background was while you were here in Houston.
Yeah, for 12 years, I wrote about the hip-hop scene here. And then for the last four until I started working for ESPN, I worked at 97.9. So it literally was like a culmination of, let me find something I love about this city. And I was like, well, the music scene is always doing something different. Mm-hmm. It's always evolving. It's always taking on different perspectives. So I kind of became the guy. Like, before me, it was Rizzo. It was Shea Serrano. It was those guys.
And then Shea is another guy who's made it big.
Exactly. And I came, like, after them in that particular generation. So for a minute, it was like I was always at Warehouse Live, House of Blues, writing things for the Houston Press. And that's kind of where I sucked my teeth into. And mm-hmm. for years, that was just what I did. And people was like, oh, you're the Houston music guy. And I'm like, yeah, I also like sports if you want to talk to me about it.
That's what I mean. Where did the sports, because you and I, we've had you on to talk sports, but I've always wanted to do a podcast. Like, I've got an idea of something I want to do, but I don't want to put it out there because Dell will steal it for his podcast. But
yeah, because that's what I'm looking, taking your idea.
I am curious, when did the sports come in, like where that became a viable outlet for you?
Sports has always been a thing. Right. I don't think I've ever, like, just...
But in terms of where it became like, okay, now I'm in the lane now officially.
I would say maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, really. The more people asked me just to come on the radio and talk different things and be like a voice for, you know, sports necessarily at the radio station, I was like, okay, well, I think I can, you know, do this in some form or fashion and combine my talents and skills over to, you know, jump into sports. And it's kind of crazy how I wound up at ESPN in the first place. I initially was applying for a general assignments position last year. And I went through one interview with that. It was great. Smooth interview. I was like, yeah, you kind of killed it. I didn't hear back for 4 months. I was like, oh, no, you didn't.
You didn't hear back at all?
No.
Like, hey, thanks, we'll be back with you?
No. I had to go through a couple back channels and learn that, hey, we're not hiring for that position anymore. I was like, well, dang, I guess I'm just doing music full time mm-hmm. again. And then I would say last summer, somebody plugged me and was like, hey, we're doing this this general editor position for NFL. Like, how would you like to take on that? I'm like, I love the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily root for the team that also on Kirby per se, but I like the NFL. Right. I love the NFL. So I went through that, and I went through a whole gamut of interviews. I did five of them. And like the final
– At ESPN. In Connecticut or Zoom?
Oh, no. It was all Zoom.
Okay.
All Zoom. To the point I've become like a Zoom, like either a consigliere, a first-round draft pick, a Zoom interviews, you know. That
you are an aficionado.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So, needless to say, that happened, and I was like, okay, I think we got this. This is something we're good at. And then I get a phone call I'll never forget, I got a phone call on a Wednesday, and the guy called me, and he said, hey, we went with an internal candidate, but we want to find a way to have you on the team. And I'm told him, that is the greatest you didn't get the job phone call I've ever got in my life. So So again, I'm still doing music. I'm still writing things. At the time of doing the interview for ESPN, I did a whole featurette on new musicians in the state of Texas for the Recording Academy, just emerging artists. And from there, I was like, okay, cool. And then me and my girlfriend, we went to Cabo San Jose, came back in September, and I got one more phone call from a great friend of mine, Eddie Messinette, and he said, hey, they're hiring again. And I flat out told him, look, this is my last go at this. If I don't get it, I don't get it.
He said they're hiring you. Well, then why'd you say if I don't get it, I don't get it?
No.
He's just telling you, hey, so they're hiring. I got you.
He's predicting this. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, look, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, hey, I can say I swung at the biggest giant in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I may have grazed it a little bit. Right. I literally went through 5 interviews in one day.
Wow.
Multiple groups on a Thursday and a Thursday afternoon. And then they told me, like, hey, we'll let you know something by the end of the week next week. I'm like, okay, cool. Monday, they called me and said, hey, so I have good news. And they gave me my offer and all that, this, down the third. And when I tell you, I literally cried because I was like, holy, like, this is real.
Yeah.
It just dawned on me that I was the kid once upon a time who, if I had NCAA football, I'm remaking a Dynasty page on a website to look just like the ESPN homepage.
Yeah.
And now I, like, work there.
That's like all of us. Dell probably would do that. Like,
Stop speaking for me, first off. Why do you keep speaking
Because
for
I'm
you?
Trying to give you credit that you're not just lazy on a couch and you won't do I
would, Is that
I,
the impression people have
Yeah, I would
have
think that
me?
Maybe you're extra. Like, you would do, he's talking about doing something extra.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing extra stuff when I came up into my 20s. Just, you love it so much that, but it's a passion. It's not that it's a, this is how I'm trying to see. I always tell people, and I tell my kids this, the passion is what eventually will get you there. It's not when you try to, like, I'm going to try too hard and create this TikTok, this. But now it's different because I think having a YouTube channel is trying. I think having doing all these things, having a podcast, this is trying. But it has to come from a place of you're not just trying to get this job. Mm-hmm. It's about the process. Because once you go through a process, what happens is you elevate yourself and you start thinking creatively and thinking about things outside. I always feel like the most important thing is you have to be creative outside of the norm. You can't just be inside the standard because you don't stand out that way.
No.
So sometimes you either have it or you don't. Like, I also unfortunately believe that some people see things through a more versatile lens. And so I think that helps too. But I've also always felt like there's a place for people like me and Dell, because I like to put us together. It's a place for people like us who are more varied in our taste.
Yeah.
Everyone, one thing that I found when I had an agent, I was trying to get into, you know, doing something beyond local. And all these agents, I was supposed to talk to 3 agents in New York, and I mean big ones too, who Lance Berkman got me set up with one, who does Stephen A. Smith, and then I did like 2 others. And one of the things that came up is that everything's a pigeonhole. Well, you know, we like that you do the NFL stuff, but then you also do more comedy and sports talk and you do imitations and all that. That's great, but they kind of like you just to be one thing. And that's not real life. Like, most people like more than just one thing. And I've always thought my versatility would be to my benefit. And even still, in New York, every once in a while, I'll pop up into a Philip Rivers imitation that they love in NFL Network. Oh, we got to get that on the air sometimes.
Yeah.
But they just know me as, okay, you're the football guy going to be watching prospects.
You're the draft prop.
Yeah, I'm the draft prospect guy.
Who wears that dumb Cowboys hat?
I did that one time because I thought they had a good second round, and it just so happened that it was like a size 6 3/4.
Way too small.
I should not have tried to put it on my head. That became... Because they're screen capturing. That's mean for you. That was very unfortunate.
You kept mentioning the process. You went through 5 interviews in a day. How many do you think were necessary?
I think all of them were.
You think?
I think all of them were, because they all dealt with other people who worked in the company.
Okay.
Like, basically, they're giving you a full-blown, hey, I work in this department, I work in that department. And at the end of the day, they're all testing your...
They wanted to hire you. They didn't know where, maybe.
Exactly. Okay. And then also, it's a matter of, we get you love sports. But anybody in this building can talk sports.
Yeah.
So what's your job?
I work audience now. Engagement. Yeah, audience engagement. So basically, any alert you get on the ESPN app, that is probably me, depending on what the sport
That's
is.
You?
Yeah, that's me.
That's like, do you understand that my kids have... This is how kids keep up with sports now.
Mm-hmm.
100%. if they have a phone, they have Bleacher Report, ESPN. Usually, though, or at least my kids have Bleacher Report, ESPN, and I think NBA. Mm. And that's how they know about things all the time. Now, they don't dig deep into it like, you know, like we do or like we used to do when we were younger. But what they do is they're alerted all the time because these notifications are a really, really big deal.
Right, right. There have been strange times. I think the first one I got really, really, like, I think a lot of my uppers like, was like, oh, yeah, no, you did a great job on that. So remember the night Penny Hardaway, like, literally laid into, like, Memphis reporters?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that was one I immediately saw on Twitter. I was like, oh, no, we got to get this.
All right, let's break it right here because I am actually interested in how the inner workings of how that
gets determined about what gets alerted and what doesn't.
And are you do you just have to be on alert? Don't spoil it. We'll get to it here in a second. Let me tell you about right now about Allstate Windows and Siding Company, who I have used in the past, and I'm a huge, huge fan because the work that they do is second to none. And if you have an issue with your house being cold right now, you woke up, it was in the 30s, maybe low 40s. Well, that's because you have leaky windows. You've got those old aluminum windows, the originals, single pane, garbage. And that's fine, but it's time to upgrade it, and you can get a beautiful window made right here in the state of Texas, and it's built to be not only energy efficient, but to stand up to the Texas weather that we have, which is extremely varied. Wind, heat, rain, freezing temperatures, you've got it all, and that's what these windows are built to take care of. They also beautify your home, so it's really going to add a great deal of curb appeal. They're much more functional when you want to clean the windows. It's much easier to do that. Make sure that you give them a call today at 832-204-1936. It's 832-204-1936. They're going to give you 25% off your windows and no interest for 36 months when you mention you heard about it from ESPN. Family run for four generations. They've got military, senior citizen, and cash discounts that are available for you. For the best rate, call Allstate. It's Allstate Windows and Siding. Go to the website right now, allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, before we get back to Brandon Caldwell, I want to get James in. He's been holding on, and he just talked about – so Dell brought up the Jack Reacher series on TV. Let's get James in here. He wanted to talk about Jack Reacher real quick. What's up, James?
No, not much, man. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to hearing you at the Columbine, and love you guys' show. Hey, did I hear you say that Zion is already going to be a part of the Texans, or is it just a candidate?
No. He's in this year's draft.
Okay, well, I hope he makes it. That sounds like the kind of guy we need in the locker room and on the team. As far as the Jack Reacher, it's Alan Richardson that is the star of the show, the 6'5". Hulk, that's he's pretty badass, man. He's pretty good. It's a good series. And even The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is a hilarious. It'll keep you rolling on the floor. So
yeah.
It's already streaming for the new season. So
yeah. No,
but
yeah,
we'll Reacher's a cool series.
All right. Thanks, James. We appreciate it.
Are you giving out draft grades for Amazon shows?
Yeah, I mean, I will. I have before. I wrote up a whole draft series. I wrote scattering reports on. This is way back in the day on Game of Thrones. I did this in 14, and my editor, when I got hired by NFL.com, found it. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, my God. He goes, I want you to do this. I had to do it again for NFL.com. I did draft grades on, you know, who the top prospects of – it was a food thing. I did that, too. And my editor back then loved it. Everyone else at NFL was like, what is this – you know, like the readers, what are we doing grilled cheese with bacon talking about the draft? Well, that's what I'm saying. People want me to stay in my lane.
You're a draft guy. We don't want to hear.
Sports guy. Don't talk about food and sports. Like, all right, yeah, I know. Stick to sports. I got it.
Shut up and write about draft prospects.
Shut up and write. Mm. Shut up and type is actually what it is, although I write my notes. So how do you find – so you do notifications. Brandon Caldwell is our guest. He works for ESPN. He came from Houston, was at the Box, 97.9. He's done a lot of writing is how mostly I knew you is reading a lot of – writing that you did from a music standpoint, occasionally some sports stuff as well.
Yeah.
You work for ESPN. You're handling audience engagement, yeah, for those who missed it, which when you get notifications on your phone, that's going to be branded. But how do you come up with – so how do you come up with – because the internet is – it used – okay, for people like me, I'm aggregating CBS Sports, mm-hmm, ESPN.com, mm-hmm, all these different sites – but you've got to get them from someplace as well. And in the past, it was always from AP Sports or like old school. That's how it was.
Right.
Now, the aggregation of news comes from Twitter probably, right, more than anything. So how are you on alert? Like how do you spread your tentacles to be able to pull in the information you need?
Well, I think because we have such a wide, vast of, you know, a wide range of insiders, first off, right? So if we have our insiders say something, their word is 97% gospel. But when it comes to, like, those little clips, you see, like, people.
How do you find a Penny Hardaway clip?
Again, somebody literally retweeted on my timeline. And I literally saw it right there. I saw nobody else was talking about it. I literally sent it up to my guys in the video team. It's like, hey, can we get a rip of this? And so it kind of works in that way, in that a lot of times we don't have rights for everything. And that's why I learned a lot was like, who has rights to what? And you have to wait for like end of game for some things.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, it was already, no, game was over, night was over. And I literally saw it at maybe like 11:30 at night. And then boom, it was like, okay, now let's go ahead and like rip it and send it up. And I swear the thing took off like wildfire. And I was immediately proud of myself, but also I was proud of the work that, you know, the whole team does, because I get to watch every single day something new happens, and something new always kind of piqued my interest. And I've always been like a fan of news writing in general. Like, I'm the kid who used to take a copy of the Chronicle and donut holes from Shipley's to daycare. Like, no, I'm dead serious. I would take the sports page and I would literally read every box score up and down, back and front.
And that's what I did. I don't know if my friend Dell did that, but
we're not friends.
That's what I did. Is it's the same thing. I mean, you just wanted to. And that has become more the newspaper going away. Basically, even though it in theory is more convenient digitally, I don't know. There was something about the ease of getting through a paper where you could get what you needed faster. The click throughs it takes. I don't want to go through every box score. Click.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see what the Brewers did today. But it was very easy to do that. And then, you know, the donut holes. I mean, you're going to do Shipley's donut holes whether you have anything in your hand or not.
Exactly. Especially if you go to a one-off
athlete. Do you have to follow a bunch of people, or do you have separate accounts? Do you have multiple people who follow multiple athletes? Because a lot of the information, a lot of the stories that you guys use, especially for now that now TV producer is putting together TV topics.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, ESPN.com, I would imagine, is extremely different. It's a whole different animal from ESPN television.
Yeah,
that's how we work at NFL Network and .com. They're completely, they're different. Different producers, different editors. I mean, they can flow through each other, and they're sharing and grabbing information, mm-hmm, from each other to utilize. But I wonder, like for your .com side, for the ESPN side, are you do you have to follow multiple athletes? Because so much of what is becoming news now are when athletes comment on something.
Right. In a sense, yeah. I think if I go through my Twitter follows right now, I know I'm following LeBron. I know I'm following probably Steph Curry, even though he doesn't say much.
Oh, so you're not following like thousands of players?
Oh, no. Because again, in our ecosystem, and I think you can test as much, just from radio's perspective, it always depends on who's the big name. The big name saying something means a lot more than, say, you know, the sixth man on the Trailblazers,
mm-hmm,
right? Unless the sixth man on the Trailblazers elevates himself past to be, like, the guy.
Or he says something really controversial.
True. And he gets the attention of, like, you know, some Twitter troll like Nick Adams, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So all of it is just saying, like, okay, just checking out and saying who's the big fish and are they likely to say something either controversial or something that makes you go, right? Like Aaron Rodgers with Pat McAfee. You already know that's going to be something.
Yeah,
regardless.
It's a lot.
You know that Brady retiring, that's going to be a thing.
Did you check in on Brady's show with Jim Gray and Larry Fitzgerald?
I peeked in. I was off the day before, but I kind of had an inkling something was going to happen. Plus, that was a weird weekend for us because we stuck to the story. And then everybody was like, and we're like, just wait.
Schefter's not, I mean, Schefter's not missing on story. Same thing with, I think Schefter got it right with David Culley's contract.
Mm-hmm.
Even though other people came out and said different, and even David Culley did.
Yeah.
Schefter doesn't say stuff unless he knows what the real deal is.
Exactly.
So I heard from somebody else in the league that, yeah, Schefter may have been right on his reporting.
Right, right, right.
So what's the process or checks and balances of determining what's going to be an alert? Like you mentioned the fame of the person making right. the news. Do you have a whole team who does that? Is that a decision you make? How do you determine like this goes out or what doesn't go out?
It's a little bit of 50-50. You have, I would say, in a back end, you can literally say who has this many like followers, so to speak. Because we even check that. Because you know how you have your favorites on ESPN? So, for example, if I were to say the Lakers, right? I think the Lakers are the most popular team. They have over 2.2 million people who have them as favorites. So, you know, anything Lakers-related is going out regardless, okay. right? However, if I were to say we're trying to cover for Texas Southern, it literally has to be a matter of what happened. Did they a big upset? Was there a scuffle? Was there something newsworthy here, right? So that's pretty much how it all boils down to.
Okay.
It's really just a matter of sometimes you can literally have a conversation with your editors and say, hey, I think this particular story means a lot.
How long have you been in Connecticut now?
Ooh.
Is life, I mean, I would imagine that Connecticut's a lot like Houston.
A lot of people say that.
I've officially been there a month and a few days now. I moved there January 14th.
First time living in a different city?
Yeah. I've
exciting, right?
It's terrifying.
Scary,
It's scary, terrifying because I literally.
Homesick already? It would be natural if you are.
I've been home twice now.
Okay,
So my girlfriend, today's her birthday. So sorry, babe, you're going to have to hear the story again. So I was initially supposed to go out to Los Angeles at the end of January for the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grammys got moved due to COVID. So now they're in April. I still had the flight credit. And I was like,
But you're out. Like, you were only going to go because this is before you got the ESPN gig.
Oh, yeah.
You're not doing anything with music anymore.
Oh, no, I still can do stuff with music. I still write about music from time to time.
You can side hustle it?
A little bit. I mean, you know, I have something coming up with Vinyl Me Please, where I did the insert for UGK's Too Hard to Swallow 30th anniversary.
Oh, okay.
Things like that. So I can still freelance from time to time. So I was just going out to the Grammys because I'm a member of the Recording Academy. So I like to, you know, hobnob, just have fun there. So when the Grammys
we watched your stuff you did last year. You had that on Instagram last year.
Yeah.
Took your mom, right?
Yeah, I took my mom. It was real sweet. So Grammys get canceled. Not canceled. Got postponed to April. I still had the flight credit. I looked around. I said, wait, there's still people from back home I did not say bye to when I left.
Finding an excuse.
I'm going home. So that Friday, I caught the flight, landed at IAH. I felt like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, I'm back home. Warm weather. Yes. And then my girlfriend's like, so you know it's a blizzard coming, right? And I was like, well, wait, what do you mean a blizzard? Like a couple drops of snow? No. She sent me a video Saturday morning. The entire back porch is covered in snow. Her car covered in snow.
So you had to get back.
Nope. I did not get back.
You couldn't.
I couldn't. I didn't get back till Monday evening, and she was still mad because she had to drag the trash can out of a foot of snow. So, needless to say, she was like, you have to make this up to me. I'm like, okay, well, we'll just go back home for your birthday. And so, here we are.
So, that's why you're here.
Yeah, we're here.
And that's why you're in studio.
Yes, sir.
Because you said you were coming back.
Oh, yeah. That, and you was like, no, let's do this on the phone. I'm like, no, Lance, like, as much as I love you and I appreciate you mm-hmm. and Dell and the show.
I understand the whole love for him.
Yeah.
I would have done it over the phone just to avoid him.
Please. Look, I've been, again.
What did you just drop a broke back on me?
I said, you can't quit me, Dell.
It's unfortunate for all of us.
I said, no, I'm definitely coming in studio to hang with you guys because, again.
When we come back, we're going to break it, but Twitch wants to know what your thoughts were on the Super Bowl show. So we will, because they believe you're uniquely positioned to speak on that with your music and sports background.
Gotcha.
So we'll do that when we come back. It's 8:30 here on the bench.
This is ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, let's get through what Twitch wanted you to talk about. How did you like, personally, as someone who is a music writer, how did you like the Super Bowl? These are guys that we came up with. I like all the artists who are involved to different levels and different varied extents. The right. only one that really is resonating with younger people is probably Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I mean, really resonating
right.
is going to be Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. And I did find it, while I enjoyed it personally, although I thought it was a little bit, I'll be honest with you, it was a little I don't know. I had bigger expectations.
Really?
Yeah. I liked it, but I think it's because they had so many artists, they only could get through, like I would have, like when Missy Elliott came out with, I can't even remember
Katy
who
Perry.
It was.
I remember.
It was Katy Perry. We didn't know Missy Elliott was coming out. True. I didn't. And then Missy got to do more of her songs.
Mm-hmm.
If there had been three artists on the stage right. and they were able to go into more of what they do, I think I would have enjoyed it better. But because it was so boom, boom, quick hit stuff,
exactly.
I got one Kendrick thing. That's it?
Two. But
did we get two?
We got two. We got we got two. We got All Right, and then we got...
What was the other one?
Mad City.
Oh.
That's what we opened with. So.
Yeah. I think I may have missed the very beginning of it.
Yeah. The funny thing about the Super Bowl is... We have now become the demographic where the things we grew up on is now considered like, oh, that's like, you know, classics, top 40. And I'm like thinking to myself as a kid, my mother would like kill me if I brought home a Dr. Dre CD or Eminem CD.
This is the strength. I tried to explain this to my wife. I said one of the things that I struggle with is when I grew up on hip hop, it was underground. It was counterculture.
Yeah.
So I love counterculture. I've always loved counterculture, whether it's, you know, dance music from a period or when the Smiths, mm-hmm. I mean, going way back, or I've kind of gotten more into punk rock. It's way, way, way,
right.
like I got into it way, way, way late, but
right.
the idea of counterculture, well, that's what NWA was. That's what Ice-T was. That's what Snoop was. That's what everything was until now it's mainstream. It's stranger for me to see it in the mainstream because it doesn't feel the same to me now that it's mainstream and it's not like a counterculture thing.
Yeah. Think back, 1993 Snoop Dogg, arguably the most scary person in the world. The man's up on a murder charge.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to 2022 Snoop Dogg. He's America's favorite pitch man. He kicks it with Martha Stewart. He can wear Crip regalia at the Super Bowl.
At the Super Bowl.
All over the place. And people are eating it up.
One of the craziest things to me is that a lot, and it was brought to my attention. I didn't know, but now that I know, I recognize it. All the blood stuff that goes on,
yeah.
mainstream, and especially some in basketball, a lot in football now.
Yep.
The Crip stuff, that is, it is crazy what has become mainstream in sports.
It blows my mind. Now,
I grew up in Long Beach, California.
Oh, yeah. So this was close to your heart.
And Daytona.
I didn't grow up. I was born in Daytona. I didn't grow up in Daytona, Florida. So when I was a kid growing up, there were things you didn't wear. Because the neighborhood you were in.
Yep.
And these things, or what you didn't do things. I wasn't on one side or the other. I was just trying to get through life. But you didn't wear this or you didn't wear that because you knew. And you didn't do this, you didn't do that because you knew. And now, what you did not do in the neighborhood, you see in the Super Bowl. And I'm like, and people just, ha ha, Snoop, that, we love that. Wait, that's the same guy 20 years ago you were telling your kids to stay away from.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
And now Snoop is, and even the video comes out where Snoop is, smoking weed before he gets on, before
struggle.
He goes on, and someone was like, man, our hero's disappointing. We didn't even expect.
You don't have kids? Or you have kids?
No, I don't have kids.
Dale, do you have any kids?
Thank God, no.
Okay, I got to ask, because you're very anti-kid. I just want to make sure.
Very anti.
Because you could have kids and be anti-kid then.
Well, that would make sense, but no, I don't have
kids. As me, growing up, listening to what I listened to, and I have very, very musical taste, but some of it was, you know, public. I mean, it was a lot more counterculture stuff. It's weird for me to see. I feel like, wait a minute, this shouldn't be mainstream. Like, my kids should not. I don't feel like some of this should be mainstream because, and maybe I'm getting older and you're like, oh, it's a morality thing. But I just know the messaging. And my whole thing is some of this messaging shouldn't be. It's supposed to be what my kids are sneaking.
Exactly.
It's not supposed to be right here, everything mainstream.
Exactly. Because if you look at the Doggy Style cover, like, that is literally something you had to sneak from your parents, right?
Yeah.
And now, I think we don't have that feeling anymore. Like, we don't have
the
feeling
art
the high
from the
stuff.
Good times intro,
yes.
but if you made it, okay, we're going to take that from Chicago, and now we're going to take it to Long Beach, and we're going to really take it to another level.
So, but Dale, I have a question. Like, again, that was the most LBC Super Bowl if you think about it, right? You had Snoop, you had Billie Jean King, Janelle Eco, when I must say, is a product of Long Beach schools. Like,
How did you feel about L.A. just kind of usurping all things Long Beach and claiming it is their Super Bowl?
I mean, L.A.'s been doing that for years. I mean, it doesn't – it's
is
fine.
Is that really a separate thing for you, Dale?
I mean, I got to say, I wasn't – as I was growing up, I left Long Beach when I was like 17. So I wasn't an adult yet, but I was getting there. I mean, I wouldn't say we take it when we can get it, because there is a definite divide. But how many people outside of the Southern California area know that Long Beach exists, unless you're listening to that music? So the people here, maybe some people know that LA and Long Beach are separate, but for the greater country and the greater world, they don't know.
Okay.
It hit me a little bit, but I'm like, well, what am I fighting at this point?
Like, what flag am I really trying to fight here?
What hill am I trying to die on?
Yeah. I mean, it's way bigger than Compton and Long Beach. It has been for a long time.
Although Compton and Long Beach pretty much took over the Super Bowl.
The whole Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
The whole Super Bowl. And it is amazing that Dr. Dre is responsible for almost every – I don't think he had any – I don't know if he has tied to Mary J. Blige.
I mean, they did one song in terms of family.
He found Eminem. Yeah. Did Eminem find 50?
They did. They both found
Kendrick him. Was
Kendrick was already set, but Dre kind of like anointed him as next.
Right. So he has a connection with him.
Yeah.
So and of course Snoop he did.
True.
Find Dre.
So here's my thing, and I've always kind of thought about this. Do you believe that Lose Yourself for this generation of Caucasians is the same as Journey's Don't Stop Believing for the older generation?
Yes. I actually think there's a reason he played that. Yeah, because he was at his it was from a movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was at his apex. He was at his apex, yes. I think. I'm trying to go through the timeline. But yeah, I think that's one that will transcend across it transcends across racial, it transcends across cultural and when I say cultural I mean age groups. What's your particular? It was more of an anthem that is a lot bigger than something that would be a number one hit on a radio or a number one download or something like that.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I actually think you are. I think you're right. See, you got the same kind of Shea Serrano mentality too. Like now, Shea would have whipped it into something having to do with the TV show he's watching right now.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think Eminem. I'll say this right now. From 1999.
What Eminem song would you play? I could have come up with a bunch of them, but the one that would be the most Super Bowl friendly would have been Lose Yourself.
Yeah. It is. I mean, I think the most universal Snoop Dogg song isn't really any of the songs that he played. Like, I think Ain't No Fun off Doggy Style is the most universal Snoop Dogg song. But
excuse me. What is he saying? you can't go there though.
I
know Snoop has reached a level where he's like America's guest, but I don't know if Ain't No Fun would have cleared.
And Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Bad Bunny's getting into America's Guest territory, too.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. So it dawned on me really just looking back at it. Like, we didn't get none but a G thing. And I thought that would have been like the first song.
I don't know how that didn't do that.
You know, we didn't get What's My Name. And you just start by saying, but then you have to realize, you have to pack all that in to like 13 minutes.
And that's my problem with it. We didn't get those things.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was left a little bit, I didn't, like, it should have been a Dre joint, and then maybe not as many.
Yeah.
Like, Eminem didn't need to be there, frankly, if I'm just being honest.
If
they're just going to make it a L.A. thing, then just do an L.A. thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I understand why they had Mary J. Blige. I understand why they had Eminem. You could have, frankly, just made it Kendrick.
Dre, Snoop.
And Snoop. You could have done that and been okay, but I do know they wanted to diversify it a little bit.
Right. I mean, if we got a full-blown G-Funk Super Bowl, that means a Nate Dogg hologram is coming. That means a Tupac hologram is coming.
That's what we were talking about if the Tupac hologram was coming on California Love.
Dre started playing I Am Mad At You. I'm like, wait a second. Like, just go ahead and get
As soon as he did that on the piano, I'm like, hologram.
Sorry, you can't pay The Rock and then have the hologram.
Yeah.
The Rock, I'm sure it was very expensive.
We got Kanye West and McDonald's then. We can pay somebody to get a Tupac hologram.
You always come under budget.
You just mentioned a guy. Kanye is never happening on a Super Bowl.
That's never happening.
Way too much of a wild card.
That's never happening.
You can't let Kanye on a Super Bowl.
An
NBA All-Star game, he can't. It's Kanye is too volatile. He can't be on pretty much anything. That's almost like having, Kyrie's not as volatile. But by the way, what do you guys think about, we haven't gotten into that, New York is getting ready to lift. Eric Adams, who I like, I've heard him speak on a few different occasions. He's the mayor of New York. Eric Adams is like, we're not, he goes, yeah, we're following science and blah, blah, blah. That's basically how he said it yesterday. Here's the quote. As a matter of fact, here's Eric Adams. Pull Eric Adams up. He's the mayor of New York. Here was his discussion about the vaccine mandates in New York, and I bring this up because it could have an impact on the NBA.
I can't wait to get it done. I think that I take my hat off to New Yorkers through masks, through vaccines, through social distancing. You know, we were hit with the uncertainty, the fear of COVID. I'm really proud of how we responded as New Yorkers. And every morning I meet with my health professionals because I always stated I'm going to follow the science. I'm not going to get ahead of the science because I'm ready to get ahead of all of this and get back to a level of normalcy. But they're giving us clear instructions. They gave us benchmarks. We're going to follow those benchmarks. But I look forward to the next few weeks going to a real transformation.
So what he's telling you right now is that they are, it's a very real thing. They're going to get rid of vaccine mandates.
So bet on the Nets is what you're saying?
Well,
get those bets in.
What I'm telling you is there is a, I would put the chances based on, because Eric Adams is very aggressive. You are going to see the vaccine mandate go away in, and they say vaccine passports go away in New York. When that happens, Kyrie will be able to play every game. Is that enough to make a difference in the East?
First question, is there a draft already set for the moment that happens? So Kyrie is, however the process is there something waiting for Kyrie is now available for home and away games? You guys already have that in the draft?
What do you mean?
Yeah. I believe so. We probably do.
Yeah.
So the thing about the Nets and the thing about James Harden, I feel like I get called on like every year James Harden does something crazy.
As a Houstonian, where do you stand on the Harden?
You could have been one, but are you still a Harden guy?
That's the question.
It is no longer my burden as a person who roots for the Rockets to care about James Harden.
Thank you.
It is no longer my burden. Now, is he a top 75 player? Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure, of course. Is he a guy who has the most unfortunate luck of a superstar in history because he literally attempted to have his own super team? It blew up in his face, and now he goes to another attempt for it.
You call it luck. Yes. Some people might call that karma.
I mean, again, this is the same guy who had went 0 for 27. This is the same guy who.
Well, the whole team did.
It just felt like James went 0 for 27.
Yeah.
It felt like. He just sat by idly, like, y'all keep missing. Take it back a year, right? You go ghost against the Spurs.
Oh my God.
You get Chris Paul. You have the greatest regular season in Rockets history, arguably the greatest team in Rockets history, and you have two shots to knock these guys out. You don't do it.
Leading in both games.
2019, same thing. You have no KD to worry about in game five. He goes out. Okay, it's you and Chris. Y'all are both healthy. Collapse in game five. You let Steph go cold. The coldest Steph game ever.
Uh-huh.
The beginning of game six. And then, boom, poof, gone. Blows up. He throws 33 on your
face. I forgot about it. Steph's first half of that game was unbelievable. Let's break it right now. There actually is something I want to get to. NBA's all-time 75. ESPN had an interesting panel discussion, and I wanted to get to a couple of those topics before we wrap it up with Brandon Caldwell. Yep. Brandon Caldwell, formerly of Houston, now from Connecticut.
Always.
He works at ESPN.
Houston. Don't say formerly.
Happy to see the local guy make it big. So we'll finish up with Brandon coming up. About 3 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, our last 4 or 5 minutes that we have here with Brandon Caldwell. Thanks for coming to studio, Brandon. Really appreciate it. I mentioned you guys, NBA have their NBA top 75 players, and it was really cool to see all those top players, some of them on location, some of them were doing weird waves from a remote location where they're supposedly waving to the audience. They're turning sideways.
It legit felt like they were the cryo heads from Futurama.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
That is very similar. Let me get your takes on some of these. I'll make it very, very quick. Which player was the most overrated in the rankings? Here are some of the names. Kevin McHale at 39. That feels a little high.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller at 51.
That's a little high.
Bob Pettit, 35. I mean, never saw Pettit. Just obviously feels a little high. Pete Maravich at 54. I've always felt like Pete is chronically overrated because
college,
this is an NBA. Yeah.
College.
This is an NBA thing. He shot like 39% for his career.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Durant at number 12. I thought Andre Snellings. I don't know who that is.
Snellings is our fantasy guy. He's a fantasy guy.
Okay. He has Kevin Durant at 12. He must be going through some. Oh, here it is. Of course. Take real plus minus, or I'm sorry, take real plus minus RPM as an example. So he went into the numbers. I don't agree with that. With saying Kevin Durant's not a top 12.
As Kevin Durant once said, nobody cares if you bring charts and graphs to a basketball game, bro. Like, do you see the guy? Does the guy look like he's top 10 or not?
Kevin Durant doesn't feel like a guy who would do well with analytics guys.
I don't think he really cares, but I think Kevin Durant, he wants to hoop. Like, excuse the drama, excuse the narratives, this down to third. He just wants to hoop.
Let me bring it to this before I get your comments. Here are the most underrated rankings. I'm not going to tell you who the names are, the different people. I'll just make it quick.
Right.
Harden, number 50. Then the next guy says Harden. One guy says Elvin Hayes at 58. Another guy says Chris Paul at number 29 feels underrated. And then another guy says Kevin Garnett at 21. What are you guys' thoughts on those? I think Chris Paul at 29 feels reasonable to me.
I think Kevin Garnett's too high.
Really?
Yeah.
Garnett, this guy thinks he's underrated. You think he's overrated?
The 21st best player ever?
Mm-hmm.
I feel it.
Now, remember, Ooh. Do you take into account that he was one of the original 7-footers who stepped outside?
I remember. I grew up.
One of the original high school guys?
Yep. Yes, I remember because growing up, I would watch, and I was a Western Conference guy being in L.A., so I saw a lot of him when he came to L.A. and just the games himself. Great player, but 21st overall, I feel like how many power forwards are better than Kevin Garnett
right now?
And if in
today's NBA?
No.
Yeah.
Overall.
Well, I think Karl Malone is. Like, I think one, there are.
And is Duncan Charles, a center or a forward?
Charles
power
Barkley,
forward?
I think.
So you're already at
Charles
two.
Charles was, yeah.
You're already at two.
And no, he's Duncan, at three now because he just wins Charles.
Oh, so Duncan, Malone, and Barkley. That's three.
Yeah, I mean, if you go bigs, you'd say.
Do you think Giannis will be a better player than Kevin Garnett?
Eventually, I think
so
he will.
So that's four.
Yeah.
So you're already.
But you might be right.
But then you got to reorganize that when it comes to the top 100.
That's true. But so Giannis at some point we believe will surpass Kevin Garnett.
Right.
And if he's already played
a long time,
understand,
and had a big impact in multiple areas. But so does Giannis.
Giannis has a title, multiple MVPs, right? Or at least he has two.
Let's see. Yeah. That resume goes like this. One finals MVP, one championship, two back-to-back MVPs.
Yeah. So
multiple All-Stars and a defensive player.
Yeah. So we're already at four power fours that are better than him. Already.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think
he's too high. Might be right because you start adding the guards and the all-time legends. But I want to get to Harden being 50.
Yeah.
I actually agree with them. I think Harden at 50, Harden is forever. And, you know, this move from he fat-suited his way, that's what we call it. Well, I don't know if he actually had one. But he fat-suited his way to the Nets. Then he jets. And now I'm kind of interested in the Nets playing the Sixers. I kind of want that matchup in the playoffs now, especially if when the vaccine mandate goes away,
it's going to.
But I feel like James Harden is definitely better than the 50th best player of all time. But people don't like him. The general fan, most people, they may say, I'm a Giannis guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not even Giannis as much, but Dame Lillard. There's a lot of kids who are Dame Lillard fans, who are LaMelo fans, who are LeBron fans, who are individual player fans rather than team fans. That's a construct of the last 15 to 20 years, really since LeBron came in the league. There was some of that with Jordan, but this is really more of a new thing. However, you know what nobody ever does? I'm a Harden guy, unless you were in the city of Houston.
Unless
there's
you're
not
here.
Harden guys.
The beard and all that,
it still doesn't resonate.
He was a unique star because his appeal wasn't national, and he was more Houston-centric, and that's why people wrote for him.
Yeah.
And then when he did what he did, it's even, I guess, for people who were on Twitter having these battles, it had to be even more hurtful considering all the slander they took and threw out because of him. I don't really understand why James didn't become a more national figure. Is it because of the way he plays? It can't be personality based.
It's not. I mean, again, how can you hate the guy who loves strip clubs? Like, how? How does that work?
Yeah, and I don't know anything much about him other than that. And as Lance said, maybe fat suit his way out of Houston. I don't think there's a negative thing about James personality wise outside of Houston. Like, Lance knows some stuff, but
The only person who probably has a bad thing to say about James outside of Houston is Moses Malone Jr.
Well, yes. Yeah. Or guys who have played with him.
Or that. Also.
That's true. But as far
or guys
as the fan,
who coached him.
That's also there.
That's all inside.
Or Charles Barkley and the NBA, TNT guy.
Now that's we're true. Getting a list. Like, now we're making a list.
But the fan perspective, unless that's all been kind of
but they don't love
manipulated.
How do you not love a guy that's scoring 30
this
plus?
Is what I'm
like,
saying.
There's no
unless,
love for him.
Unless it's all been manipulated by the people we just mentioned, why wouldn't the normal NBA
okay,
fan like
let
James?
Let me ask you.
I don't
is
get
it. Also, is
I know
it
also, it's true, but I don't get
well,
it.
Well, you got a beard. Like, you've got some things that could be considered iconic, but my issues with them have to do with he just doesn't have winning DNA and all that. But that's just if you see him every day and you're a Houston Rocket fan.
Right.
I feel like James maybe is hit a little bit by his inability to elevate over the Golden State Warriors. Well, he never had that
Dame
moment.
Dame never did it?
No, I know, but Dame had a rap album. Dame has the shots.
Dame has the shots over OKC. He has the shots over the Rockets.
That's true.
The thing about Harden that a lot of people just don't like is that, one, he plays in a way that he's, as I think Bomani Jones said it best, he commits insurance fraud. And then he's baiting refs. He's trying to get he's trying to get fouls and stand the third.
That's the best.
But at the same time, this is a guy who literally will light your team up for 30-40 a game.
Yeah.
And it's like nobody cared because Daryl Morey and company tried to do their absolute most to get past the Warriors. Mm-hmm. They had two shots at it, and it didn't work. And that is all people will hang on this particular era of the Rockets, is that you went at Goliath, you swung hard as you could, and you missed. So do I feel James is a top 50 player all time? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Do I think there are shooting guards much better than him? Yeah. Do I think that, and this may be on a separate thing, do I think that Kobe fans are a little bit, perturbed a bit because he's 10? I'm like, guys, there are 9 basketball players who are not guards. Well, no, there's only one guard ahead of him. There are 9 players. There are 8 other players who are either forwards, centers. It's not that hard, right? Yeah. It's not that hard. Yeah.
Is James Slippin' Jimmy? Like, is James the basketball version of Slippin' Jimmy from Better Call Saul?
Oh, my God. He is Slippin' Jimmy.
He is Slippin' Jimmy.
I can understand. I like Slippin' Jimmy on the show, but I can understand why Bomani's correct. He's the Rockets and James game the system into multiple
Western
Conference
Finals
appearances.
And then there was articles about Rockets send a tattletale video
and
to
that
show
too.
54 yeah. fouls that were committed that weren't called and – yeah, I mean, maybe he's hit by some of the where people didn't like the Rockets that much.
I think
maybe
it's in totality. The Rockets weren't very well liked.
Well, I mean, it goes back to even having Pat Beverly. If Beverly's not on your team, you don't like him. That's just a fact.
True.
And once you've had Pat, you like him.
Yeah.
And that was part of James' team. Dwight Howard was beloved early in his career, and then people were off of him. Mm-hmm. He joined with James Harden. Chris Paul, not well-liked and well-loved outside of the teams he plays for.
Right.
And he played with James. Like, I don't know, if you start to put the pieces together, you see that
there's a common denominator.
100%. Listen, Brandon, we got to break it right here. Thank you so much for coming in. Congratulations
on your
success. It was cool hearing your story from Houston to Connecticut. We wish you the best of luck. We thank you for coming in.
Always.
And when we come back, Dell and I will take you the last hour of today. We got something very funny coming up for you at 8:15. Keep it right here. Well, we got some amazing stuff coming up the entire hour. I'm not sure what all of it's going to be, but
it's just going to be amazing.
I'm just going to trust the process. Amazing. I'm trusting the process. 9 o'clock on ESPN 97.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.